4ZLK, KO4HKX.
4ZLK, good morning.
How's things looking for you?
But I'm just leaving Piedmont, headed towards Easley. I've got one delivery there. I don't have a lot, but I can meet you. I probably will be closer to 12:30. Is that okay?
So that's what I was going to say, too. I got one more stop up here, and then I'll head that way.
I'll call you when I head that way from Easley.
I'll see you then. KO4HKX. I'll be clear for now. Be careful.
See you then. N4ZLK mobile.
For Sierra Bravo Extra.
DJW Mobile.
Or CPA Mobile.
Or DJW Mobile.
Well, Dave, what are you doing out this morning? Or are you out?
And me are going to the transfer station with a load full of about everything. Yard waste, metal, household garbage, cardboard, and oil. I got to hit every station at the transfer station today.
You know, used to, you just went and threw it all in the you know, the big dumpster thing, and then when it got full, they would pull it out and stick another one in there, and and now everything has to be separated. It's, and I remember, I think I may have told you this, but I had a bunch of paint. I was cleaning out a garage, and I had a bunch of paint that they had left in the garage, and I didn't know you were supposed to put sand in the paint, or they wouldn't take it, so the guy told me he wouldn't take it, and so I just went and started putting the other stuff in there, and this other guy came along, and the guy that told me I couldn't do it walked off. And this other worker walked up and he said, "Here, let's get rid of this paint." And he just started throwing it in there. We just started throwing it in there as fast as we could. So none the wiser.
The same thing here. One day you come and they say, for the electronics, you can only take, they only take TVs and computers. And then the next time you're out here throwing something that's electronic in the trash, and they say, that goes in the electronics. It just, it all, where it goes all depends on who is there that day. And I looked at the reviews on Google reviews for it, and they're saying the exact same thing. So they just don't have their stuff together at all.
Yeah, I had my coffee in one hand, and I couldn't pick up the mic because I was turning. Making several turns right there in a row and trying to get around this truck that's, I mean, I'm glad he's picking up Lee's, but he was just standing there. There's another car that's working with him with flashing lights, but there was a lane, the opposing lane was open, and you could see there was nothing coming, so I just went around him. And everybody else was just sitting there, so I don't have time to wait on him because I've got a tennis match, and I don't want to be late.
I am turning in right now, and so if I don't come back to you after yours, you'll know that I got an early parking space. I didn't have to wait. If I do, you'll know that there's a line, and it does not look like there's going to be a line here.
Good. Yeah, I've been to that one several times. I for different reasons. Oh my goodness, more construction.
Well, and for me, so this will be my last one too. You'll probably be at tennis court when I get back out. So you're going to have to tell me about your 80 meters next time we're on. KB4CBA, W4DJW, I'll be clear after yours.
All right, Dave, well, have a good one, and it'll be a beautiful day. Always good to talk to you at W4DJW, KB4CBA Mobile.
You are mobile.
So, what are you doing?
Slow down. I can't say it ain't so, because I'm like, we're like Willie Nelson. We're on the road again. We're going to go to Spartanburg, to Sam's or Costco's or both or something.
Where you live is closer to go to Spartanburg, I guess, than to come to Greenville.
Exactly the same. It might be a few tenths of a mile more, but to avoid Woodruff Boulevard, I'd rather take a bullet than go down there.
What you mean, Woodruff Road is, it's always been a mess when they started, when businesses started popping up. And it seems like they all popped up overnight. And it was, I can remember when it was too lame. Heck, I can remember when Haywood Road was nothing but cow pastures on both sides, so, But anyway, and then they widened Woodruff Road, and it just seemed like it made the traffic worse. But anyway, I don't like to go down there. Occasionally there's a restaurant that we go to there. But other than that, I try to stay away.
That's wonderful to have memories like that. I don't. We've only been here 15 years. But it's just a mess down there. And then try to find a parking place in Costco's is a mess. Turning into Costco's can be dangerous, even before you get to the parking lot. Getting out of it is not the easiest in the world. But you know what? Spartanburg is asking for it, and they're getting more people, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So it's not far from it anymore. A little easier to get into. Sam's is dicey getting into. Costco's is pretty easy to get into.
KB4CPA. Well, I'm headed to play tennis. I guess it's no surprise. And then I'm gonna pack up the car and head up the mountain to see my sister in Maggie Valley. Stay up there probably till Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. I haven't decided.
Nice trip. I got some kind of an outfit in front of me here. I don't know what in the world it is. Well, Dave, it's I-40 all open all the way up that way, what's that other road that we go off on? 74, is that all opened up now?
It is where I go. I get off on, the Maggie Valley exit, so it is open that far. It's a few miles west of, where I get off. It is where the all that cave-in happened. And good Lord, I don't know when that's going to be open. It might be a year and a half, 2 years before that's open again.
Well, distraction here, Dave. I got quite a character in front of me. And where did you say it's still messed up at?
I don't know exactly because it's after the Maggie Valley exit, so I don't have a problem. The worst part of the trip is 26. They're still doing construction on 26. And that's where all the traffic snarls and mess, all that mess is, it's just terrible. But 40's not too bad.
I think we'll be going up that way in, April or May, after I get done with my surgery. I don't know when exactly yet, but I hope this car will try to pull out in front of me. People's crazy today, I'll tell you. This car in front of me, you can't see out the back window. It sounds like it needs to be in the scrapyard. He drives off of the road and then back on. He's not drunk. I think he's just elderly. I should talk. Oh, well. We're passing the Greer Golf Course right now. That's what you ought to take up instead of tennis as you get older is golfing.
I heard you there, Dave. I tried golfing one summer, and a friend of mine, we're the same height and everything, and he let me use his old clubs. He bought a set of new ones, and the longer I played, the worse I got. So, in fact, I don't even think I made it all the way through the summer. Playing golf, I finally just hung it up because it was getting very, very frustrating. Go ahead, Dave. W4DJWKP4DPA.
Wednesday morning is the day to go to the transfer station. There's only three of us there. I just went to every station and unloaded. And they said this time the paint goes in the big dumpster for the outside garbage. So, well, now it's okay to put the paint in there. It's crazy. It gives a different story every time. But anyway, I found where you put the old used oil. I never knew that before, so that was a good thing. Anyway, the dogs are bored. They're going to sleep. Hey, good morning, Tom, W4DJW. Over to you.
It is. It is a great morning, Dave. Nice to hear you. This is N0TR. Oh, we're out here on Gap Creek Road and following a not-so-good automobile, but they got a right to be there, so c'est la vie. We're just going over to Spartanburg to do a little shopping. We got some checks back, the kickback they give you from Costco's or Sam's or I don't pay no attention. Bernice, she knows, and it's just an awesome day. And yesterday I finished putting up that security light out there, replacing it after I screwed up twice. Nothing electrical that I screwed up on, just the mechanical portion. And I'm getting too old to do that. When you got to stand on a ladder, it about kills me in a lot of different ways. So I ain't going to do that no more. But I like that light up out there. It's a motion light, but it stays on dim, Dave. It's LED. Until there's motion, and then it goes bright. And so the area's illuminated, yet dimly and not using hardly any electricity. But boy, when it goes bright, it looks like an NFL football field out there. I'll say good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys.
That's the War Department. Go ahead, Dave.
In the same boat you're in. I'm following Gramps, and Gramps is driving 25 and a 45. And putting on brakes every time he goes past the street. He must be hunting for where he's going. I don't know. Anyway, like you said, he's got a right to be here. But that's kind of cool. I got one more I need to put up. Well, actually, two more of those. And I want to put cameras up with the lights so it records what's going on. Because There's one dark corner in the back and one on the side. I'm hesitant to do that, though, because it'll shine in my neighbor's eyes when they pull in, so I don't want to do that. Anyway, over to you, David, W4DJW.
Yeah, we have, in the back, we have those new lights that have their own sensor in them, so I didn't have to go out and, you know, buy the ones that have motion detectors on them. And they work really well. They're real bright. And we got cameras everywhere. So if you come to my house, you're definitely being videoed. And those cameras, we can talk to you. you know, front door and all the other ones, we can talk to you. So, if you hear a strange voice when you come over there, it's probably me. By the way, I gotta go. I'm in my parking space. 73's gentleman, and you too, Tom. Let's see, N0TR, W4DJW, this is KB4CBA, clear.
Yeah, that's definitely a one. You're in trouble now. You just got two more coming, Dave. But I will wish you a good day. Yeah, our cameras are the same way. And what I like about the one towards the, down by the basement towards the backyard is the fact that I can get around this guy. He's looking down at his phone on top of that, Dave. Out on the highway here on 29 and forgot to turn his turn signal off. Arg. But it'd be neat if we had dogs to walk, because the light follows you and it's recording you at the same time. And the one up in the carport does the same thing, but it doesn't follow you. It just turns on. And then if you walk on out, the one on the tin barn comes on. And if you go on out, the one by the chicken pen goes on. I can see clear out to the edge of the property out there. You know how big that is, Dave. Go ahead.
And I'm sitting at Milford Church in 101, your favorite red light. But ours do the same thing, and you can talk to people, and the lights come on, and they got wide, really wide angles, so you can see down one edge of the house, and then at the corner you can see down the other edge of the house, all in one. It doesn't have to follow you. You can see the whole thing all the whole time. You can pan, slide. You can slide the screen left or right or right or left if you want to keep up with somebody. But it gets it all. So those things just keep on getting better and better. Amy replaced the one that's at the driveway that looks down at the front door and looks at the back at the same. Looks at the front door and looks all the way down one side all at the same time. That's pretty cool. And I don't know how they keep it from getting the fisheye, but it doesn't, you know, have that fisheye distortion. As you scroll the screen left and right, it stays flat. It doesn't go fisheye. That's pretty cool.
NGL-TR. That is amazing. I always wanted to have a 21mm fisheye lens, but we was really poor back then, and I definitely couldn't afford it. And it's just kind of, for amusement, I guess you'd say, Dave. I don't know. It's an odd view, that fisheye lens. And I wanted a 24mm, too, but I couldn't afford that at the time. I love photography. It was a lot of fun. Now they've made it, let's say, AI. You just punch a button and the camera does everything for you. But even on the phones, they're just excellent. I don't know how they do it. And I don't like that light. And the reason I don't like it is they didn't put sensors in the road there to go ahead and let you turn there. If you're talking about the one just north of the Weenie Shop.
That's Peggy's Diner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we was there the other day, and there was a semi, a 56-footer, I think, coming out of the dollar store there, you know? And is that the name of it, Dollar Store?
Dollar General.
And And I don't know how in God's name that guy made it around that corner without hitting somebody. It was just totally amazing. That they need to put a roundabout there, if anywhere.
Well, I know what you're talking about, and if I had it or not. Sometimes it sends out a beacon and it keys it up, and when I key it up, it doesn't pay attention to me. It sends its beacon, and I never transmitted, so I have to look every now and then. But this will be my last one. The dogs and I are turning down our street. But yeah, those truck drivers are amazing at what they can, how they can maneuver those huge trucks like they do. And that one at Peggy's Diner, and I think at Dollar General, they're the same. That's the same one. But you're absolutely right. And hello, Miss Bernice, and you guys be careful the rest of the way home or wherever you're headed. N0TR, W4DJW. I'll be clear after you.
Yes, they are. Shane used to pull doubles for years out there. I took the test for doubles when I got my CDL years ago. Oh, God, I thank God I didn't have to drive one of those things. Never did have to go to truck driving. But I'll tell you for sure, it's... It would have been a good alternative anyways if I lost my job. But at any rate, Dave, great to hear you. And I just said that they ought to put a roundabout there. Talking about a roundabout at the fire station. Those guys smartened up, and they parked their trucks in going out the back instead of the front now. And so they just go out the back and come around to the front, and makes it a lot better than... If traffic stopped there, they can't come out the front. They're blocked. But anyway, Dave, I'll let you go. Take care. Have a great day. We're just going to Costco's and Sam's over here, I think. Just out during the retired time. Although it's going to be noon hour when we get there. W4DJW, N0TR, 73's Dave.
Okay.
Team, great to hear you. We're just in, what's the name of this town? I guess we're in Lyman, on the way over towards Spartanburg on 29. How's your day?
It's beautiful out here. Hello to you and Bernice. My ears are burning, so I thought I'd better jump in here.
And how thankful. I took the three tests to get my CDL back years and years ago, and I just thank God I didn't have to drive those doubles. I admire you for that, let alone a 56-footer.
Wracking when you first do it, because you worry about, did I get everything connected right? But after doing it for a while, and you know, you kind of get used to it, it's really, it all follows you like it's supposed to. And it's not, you know, when I first went into driving tractor trailer, the thing that I noticed, the biggest notice for me was how you feel like it's one piece, because you know, it just kind of bends. You know, you pull a landscaping trailer or something, and you feel it rocking back and forth on the hitch back there when you hit the brakes or accelerate. But you don't really feel that in this. You're not supposed to anyway. Everything is all connected tight, and it just kind of bends in the middle.
I even knew what a Gladan was when I took that test. They had a law back then in Kansas where if you had a commercial chauffeur's license, you could take the CDL license and not have to drive in order to pass it. So in other words, just the paperwork. And so I took three tests, air brakes, and then the doubles, and the regular 50-question test, I think it was, and got my CDL, and I just studied for that in my spare time. I thought, boy, that'd be something to fall back on if I lost my job. And at that time, the company I worked for was not getting too many jobs, and I was the younger one on the seniority list. I didn't know if they'd keep me or not, although they could keep a certain percentage, I think 5%. And actually, that's what happened in later years. They passed over the older guy and kept me because, well, he just couldn't do the job, Shane. That's all there is to it.
But okay. Yeah, that happens. I knew some guys years ago that were older truck drivers, and, you know, they had their chauffeur's driver's license, and it just grandfathered in when they made the K
came up with the CDL, I guess, late 80s maybe, or mid to late 80s.
You just grandfather in, it just kept you from driving a commercial vehicle, which I don't know if the company would let me take the semi up there or not. But I thought that was stupid on their part. Turn me loose driving an 80,000-pound rig without even proving I could drive one.
I think a lot of them. I mean, there didn't used to be a CDL. You know, years ago, you could drive it. You drove it, and then with regular license. And then they came up with you had to have a chauffeur's license or something. I guess they thought maybe you had a little extra knowledge. And then ones who were already driving with the chauffeur's license, they didn't have to. They just automatically changed it to the CDL. That's kind of what I meant there.
Yeah, I just didn't think that was right because people drive those trucks. Most of them are professionals, especially back in them days. They were very courteous and. Heck, I'd get out. I went back and forth to Washington D.C. a couple of two or three times and. They were just great. You know, they'd tell you when you could pull over. They would tap their taillights to tell you thank you and stuff like that. Well, I think that's gone by the wayside some. But most of the time, they're pretty professional.
You and I think a lot of that's just due to societal changes, too. Because it's basic society used to be a little more courteous, I think. But yeah, I try to do that. I notice vehicles if they signal me, you know, personal cars, if they signal me or give me space, I always try to acknowledge them. And if I'm behind a truck or around trucks, I try to give them room and give them signals too, let them get in, because not everybody does that, and it's hard to get in sometimes.
Whenever I got a piece of gum, I'm just starting out. Trucker would pass me, I'd wait till he got clearance, and then I would flicker my lights from low beam to high beam, and to tell him that it's okay to pull back in, and that was just the way it was. I think Germany's the politest society out there on that Autobahn. You just pull up behind somebody in the fast lane, and turn your left turn signal on, and they will pull over to the right and let you go by.
And but I also have heard that they're very, very strict on their tickets. So, like, if you don't move over and a police officer sees you, you're going to get a ticket for it immediately.
This is M0TR. That's quite correct. When they have a lot of those automatic cameras along the road, when you're coming into a city, the Autobahn is not unlimited anymore. Idiot in front of me. Jumped in there with one car length and nowhere to go. But he's driving a Cadillac. He's privileged. Anyways, and now he's looking at his phone and driving in between the other cars in the other lane. They walk among us and they drive among us. Yeah, if you flip someone off over there and it's reported, they'll give you a ticket for that, I'm told. But it goes a little to the extreme, but not much. But they were very courteous out on the Autobahn.
I've driven in Germany. I've driven in England, but I haven't driven in Germany yet. I don't know if I ever will. Maybe one day. It was a little different driving in England because everybody was on the wrong side of the road and they kept waving at me and honking at me like I was doing something wrong.
That's probably what I'd do. Yeah, I can. I think they do that in Australia too. I'm not sure. But yeah, that's kind of crazy. I don't understand it. But I guess it works for them. But, I don't like that unlimited. I was in the back seat, Bernice and I, and Shelly, I looked over her shoulder, and she was driving 180 kilometers per hour. And I was just normal over there, sometimes 200. And it was up around 120 miles an hour. And when I started seeing the guard guardrails on the side of the road looking like a blur. I knew something was wrong.
It would take a little bit getting used to. I'm sure if you did it every day, it would become a little more normal. But also the vehicles over there, a lot of them are designed to run at that speed with a lot better ease. My daughter had her first car. One of my daughters was a little Toyota Corolla. I think it was a 98 model. Had a little 3-speed transmission, and boy, you wound that up to, you get up to 80 miles an hour, and it sounded like it was just going to break apart just from the whine. I mean, it did great, but it needed a couple more gears to go over there on the Autobahn.
Shelly rented a car when we was over there, and she was going to school in Frankfurt, I think, at the time, wasn't she? And at any rate, she said, I'm going to rent a Renault. And I thought back to the Renault Dauphine. I thought, oh, my God, how are we going to get in there? But it was a nice size station wagon type car. But you remember those Renault Dauphines?
And we had a Renault. I don't know if it was a Dauphine or not back in the 70s for a little while. And you're right, it was a tiny car. Anyway, we had a couple little tiny cars like that that we all crammed into and seemed to make it.
Yeah, and the Bugs. They're a lot different now, though. The Volkswagens are, and probably turbocharged, some of them. But I always think about safety, and like Bernice, after we got hit by, unfortunately, a nun back up in Missouri, she ran a stop sign and hit us broadside. That guy at the salvage yard told me that, or where they took it to repair it. I said, boy, I wished I was in a Cadillac and been a lot better. And he said, no. He says, that's got one of the stiffest frames in the industry in that Avalon. So that's why I broke down and got this one. And that's all we've had since then. And I think it may have saved our lives.
Makes good cars. Like that Avalon. I'm sorry they quit making them. But I do like Toyotas. I've been very impressed with them. And my kids have had Toyotas and Hondas. We have a Toyota now, and I've had Subarus. And out of all of them, I personally like the Toyotas better, and they're easier to do maintenance on. The newer ones, I'm not sure, but the ones that we had when the kids were learning to drive, you know, I'd change the oil and change the CV axle on one of them and starters and things like that. And the Toyota was just so much easier to work on.
Well, you know, Shane, we just got a new consumer's guide. And I know I followed their recommendations back in the 70s and 80s and 90s and all that, and even recently. And the one that rated the highest this time was the Subaru, the Forester. I was really surprised. Over the Toyota, which was like by 3 points was all. But my neighbor just bought one, and they are fine cars, but I never can go for that boxer engine.
Okay. I think you were done. I'd heard that Subarus were really good. I mean, we had them years ago, and bought my wife a Forester, and a couple of kids had a couple of the older Foresters, and what was the other one? The next one up, the little wagon. But those things constantly had little stuff going wrong. The engine may last a long time, and I know there's a thing about having to change the big seal in the engine with a head gasket can go out fairly easy on those, apparently. But just nickeled and dimed me. There's constantly doing stuff. And I finally got to the point. I told my wife, I said, I'm selling your Forester. We're going to get a Toyota. I'm going to get a RAV4. I'm tired of working on this Forester all the time just for little stuff.
I think, you know, through evolution, they have become better. My brother used to drive those all the time, and he really liked them. But he was a climatologist type of guy, I think. Sick in the head. But at any rate, even years ago, he he was that way. But he had real good luck with him. He had a Subaru Brat, those little bitty pickup trucks, and it was kind of cute. And he had that other one. It looked like a, oh, one of those off-road things. What'd they call that, Bernice? Yeah, the thing. It was. And they were, they lived in California, and they'd go out camping in the thing and all that. And it would go places that the Jeeps wouldn't go, he said. But my brother tends to exaggerate, like my dad, whom he hated. So, but he was just like him. Anyway, Shane, we've arrived at Sam's, so I'll let you go. I really enjoyed reminiscing, as usual. And you take care. In 4ZLK in 0TR. Maybe I'll catch you tonight.
I enjoyed it as well. Hugh and Bernice, have a good day. Don't spend too much money there, because they'll get you if you're not careful. We'll talk to you later. And I'm headed over to, if Patrick's listening, I'm on my way over. And 4ZLK.
Yep, we saw Patrick last night. Enjoyed it. He stayed and visited with us for a while and picked up some eggs. And he's just a great guy, but don't tell him I said that. N4ZLK in 0TR 73.